The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back, and the weekend ahead, and then we'll do it again. What a week it has been. We have a number of videos up for you at Rents to take a look at, and I hope you do look at them. They're on the homepage as well, up at the top, where the two political arts sections are. Some things worthy of your attention. One of which is the video that was somehow snuck out, I don't know by whom, of Hillary early in the evening on the 8th, being told basically that she had won. And Chelsea comes running up and gets the big hug. And in from the left comes the rapist. He comes walking in, camera left. He wants to come up and obviously hug Hillary and Chelsea in celebration, even though it was errant. Well, Hillary didn't even look at him. And Bill comes up, and I swear to God, you got to look at this. He starts jumping up and down off the ground like an elementary school kid who just sees that lunch is going to be ice cream and cookies or something like that. Hillary, in the meantime, pays no attention to him, and eventually she's hugging Chelsea, moves her left arm and extends her left hand out and lets Bill grab it. That's it. Anyway, you can see the video there. The commentary I don't agree with, but I put it up because the video is interesting. Bill jumping up and down like a child. How weird. It's all been weird. And then look at the pictures of weird Hillary. Death warmed over. She didn't put her face on. I mean, there's the truth. That's what you've been looking at all this time. And it's probably worse than that. Anyway, enough of this. Okay, what we do often, and probably not often enough, is to take trips. We take you on a trip, a visual trip, as it were, a virtual trip with Admiral Cooper, and we get to go to Europe, we get to go to South America, we get to walk back into history as it still exists, and as it did exist. And those are trips that you can take anytime you'd like. You can go to sharkhunters.com, dial up a trip, and join Harry and I, or just take the actual tour. He's got so many pictures up there of trips, patrols, he calls them, into history. It is truly a treasury of wonderful things to do, and if you're living alone, or are alone, even if you're living with others, a lot of people live that life. Go on a trip. Have fun. The last tour that we're going to spend some more time with tonight, two lovely ladies went along on the tour by themselves. and had a great time. I mean, these are trips for all human beings to take. Welcome back, Admiral.
Good evening. Yeah, those two ladies that were with us, they were just super people. They fit in with the group so well. They loved the history, and they said they'll be back.
That's great. After all I said about the trips and everything, I want to point out that all of you, can join Shark Hunters, and it's primarily dedicated. It began, of course, as an historical project to memorialize the sacrifice of submariners in World War II, especially the German Corps. But it honors all men and women of all flags who fought and served their countries in the war. It's truly an historical organization. But even if you're not particularly interested in submarines, let's say, there's so much there. Harry's books, his library of offerings of DVDs and things is absolutely unique. It's a fabulous thing to be involved with. There's nothing like taking a walk in history to help understand where the hell we are now. And that's not an easy question to answer. It's getting to be tougher all the time. Also, and I got one today, Harry sends out Hotmail, and he has a number of, let's just call them assets, intelligence agent type assets in Europe and around the world, and he gets reports from them. And this is very interesting stuff that you won't find in the MSM. And you get to read those too. So anyways, a whole bunch of things to do, and I hope you'll take a look at joiningsharkhunters.com. It's one of a kind. Yes, sir. Anyway, what you been doing besides working 12 hours a day?
I slept late. I didn't get out of bed till 4 o'clock this morning.
Damn.
I'm going to have to start setting the alarm clock.
Starting to slack off on us, huh?
Incidentally, if your listeners want to send an email to us at sharkhunters@earthlink.net to say they heard us on the show tonight, I'll send the current issue of our magazine free electronically. As you know, you get it by the Internet.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's a real intro to the whole world of Shark Hunters and history, and do that. Ask to be sent the current issue of the monthly, and you'll like it. It's fun. This is ultimately fun. It's intellectually fascinating, but it's a great time. And I don't mean going on the trips only. Everything about the organization is unique. It's something that's very special. Somebody told me that I mentioned Shark Hunters. I forget when this happened, but they said, "Oh yeah, that's a man." And I said that, you know, it looks into World War II, especially German war and post-war activities and where a lot of the people went, what happened, and this person said, "Wow, I know what you're talking about. I saw every episode about Mr. Cooper on TV."
Oh yeah.
And I had to straighten him out real quick.
Yeah.
But I said, you saw Harry's work, but that wasn't him. And then you saw a lot of things added to it.
Well, and changed a bit and plagiarized out of my book. The basic premise that Hitler did not commit suicide, that's absolutely correct. He did not commit suicide. Eva Braun did not commit suicide. Martin Bormann was not killed in a firefight outside the train station. They all went to Argentina. As you know, I was there. I spent the whole month of February this year in Argentina, Uruguay, and Brazil. And a lot of photos are on the website also. Your listener can go to sharkhunters.com, then click on tours, and tons of them, including that huge big house that looks like an eagle overlooking the sea on the cliff in Uruguay. There's a story about that. But yeah, some of the, you know, they claim they discovered the ruins of the house of Adolf Hitler. Well, they discovered it, my eye. We posted photos of that place 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And when we got there, it's a state park, for God's sake. It's open to the public, and there's since 1995, and there's one of those big board wooden signs that shows the map to everything, and it shows the directions. They call it Bormann's house. It was neither. It was a safe house for people escaping. In the late 1950s, when Juan Perón fell out of power, and their protection was gone. So they had to get across the river to Paraguay or 10 clicks through the jungle to Brazil. But anyhow, enough on those clowns.
I guess on balance, as long as people eventually meander over to Shark Hunters and find the true story, it's an okay introduction, because a lot of them would never hear anything about any of it. And what we're here to do is to try to let you know that you can find the reality of it. Harry's work is just stunning. It really ought to be taught in any legitimate college or university. But you've seen what they've turned into, right? Have you seen it, these stories about the millennials?
They've turned into kind of a recruiting ground for nitwits.
A nursery school. I mean, they're running. They're taking these poor imbeciles who have been bred into idiocy and giving them Play-Doh, color books, hugs, a crying room, counseling, puppy therapy.
The comfort puppies.
That's it. It's
comfort
just incredible.
Puppies.
These are supposed to be adults.
Yeah. My daughter is going to be a psychologist. She just, as a matter of fact, she's just finishing her master's within the next month, I think. And I don't think she's going to make it as a psychologist. You know, when her friends or these whiny crybabies in university, they have a problem, she tells them, suck it up and deal with it.
And well, it won't be good for business if she does that.
No, I told her, you can't tell somebody, suck it up and deal with it. Go pay the lady out there. You got to be a little more compassionate. But
how can you be compassionate to stupidity, though? I don't. Yeah. That's a hard one. That's
the sad thing, though, Jeff, you can't blame the students. As the tree is bent.
Oh, no, they've been conditioned. They've been molded into this, I know.
Right. They've been molded. I remember years ago when my son, God rest him, when my son was playing Little League football, if your team won, you got a trophy. If your team didn't win, too bad. Too bad.
You learned is what you had.
That's
what happened.
Right. Yeah. And as you know, I used to drive stock cars and before that, drag cars, lower class, and later on the super speedways. I won plenty of races until I went out to the big tracks, and my budget just kind of failed. But when I win, I got a trophy. When I didn't win, they wiped the numbers off the side of my race car. That's it. So it you just to try harder. You get rewarded for what you do. If you do a great job at your company, theoretically, you're supposed to get a raise, you're supposed to get a promotion, whatever. If you don't do your job right, you don't get a raise or a promotion. You get shown the door. But we have to coddle them and give them comfort puppies to pet.
It's a very sad commentary on the intentional engineering of our society. They've got now 2.5 generations under their control, under their thumb, and this latest, they're not millennials, they're moronials. And there are some people listening right now, some younger people who get exactly what's going on. I've had one of them call into the program, a millennial, and he says, yeah, you're totally right. I'm in school with them. And it's pretty grim. Pretty grim. I don't know how you get these people to all of a sudden throw off the mantle of idiocy, but it's got somehow someday everyone's worth trying to salvage.
True, and I think as they get older and get their head out of that dark and smelly place they've got it right now, and realize that life isn't handed to you. You have to get out and work. My wife, when I met my wife, 30-something years ago, she was a hardcore left-wing liberal. And then she realized, wait, if you have a job and you work and you pay taxes, you're supporting the mooches who don't want to work and pay taxes. Now, I'm not talking about people who really, honest to God, need help. Help those people. Get them back on their feet. The people who are five generations that have never filled out a job application and just live on the government, no, cut them loose. That's natural Darwinism.
You know, and it's been said for years, I've said it, even if you fall on your face, you're still moving forward.
Yeah, that's true.
There's something to be said for any of life's experiences, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, if you simply can dial them in properly.
Yeah, there's that old saying, what doesn't kill us just makes us stronger, and that's absolutely correct.
Right. Okay.
Unless you're getting a trophy for participating.
Yeah, well, they do that too. We're going to... Oh, and one quick note. 60% of the so-called protesters in Portland who were arrested weren't even registered to vote. This is all contrived,
yeah,
what's going on. And it's not going to stop. That's the sad part.
Well, the nice thing about it, we're hearing, and I'm sure it's true because I see it in Europe also, we're hearing that these protesters are getting paid to show up there to protest. Well, Trump's not even in office yet, and he's creating jobs already.
It's he
protesters.
Has had more impact on this country as a candidate and right now as a president-elect than anyone probably in history. It's really extraordinary. And if he can just hold on and get a year under his belt, if they don't kill him, I think that many of these people, their lives are going to be better, and they will all of a sudden see the light. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
as
you
chance.
Pointed out correctly, if nobody clips him, because, sometimes you get too good at your job, and in his case, he's so wealthy he can't be bought, just like my friend Haider in Austria was so wealthy he couldn't be bought. So 3 weeks after he said he was going to take Austria out of the European Union and get off the euro and kick out all the mooches, he was dead.
Yeah, I remember that very clearly. We've talked about it, and he was potentially a great leader.
Yep. Same with Kennedy.
Yeah, of course. Okay, what we're going to do is ask all of you to go to sharkhunters.com or just click on Harry's name in the guests section and go there, and we'll get ready to take our little journey tonight. You can look at... Oh, what did James do here?
I don't know. He's your guy.
Huh. Okay. Under Harry's name, more of his latest trip to Germany. And then it's got Christmas and Southern/Northern Patrols.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the 2017 tours that we've got planned. And also you've got the Code of Conduct for the German officer corps. This is the one that the Fähnrich, the midshipman, had to learn.
Right. Well, let's load up our images and go ahead and click on that, and we'll start on our little visual and mental journey tonight. This is always fun. By the way, let's tell them about the scheduled trips upcoming in case they'd like to make plans.
Yeah, the dates... Well, we've got three planned for next year, but the two that that I can nail down right now, the Northern Tour in Germany, which is Hanover, Kiel, Bremerhaven, and then Berlin, and then we'll get into that as we get into the photos. That's from the 11th until the 23rd of September. Then the very next day, the 24th of September, we start the Southern Patrol, and that goes 2 weeks, 15 days actually. It goes until the 8th of October in Bavaria and Austria. And when we get into the photos, I can get into details on what we're going to do. We'll probably talk about the Southern Patrol first, because that's the one I've got more photos of. But it's your show, so we'll go wherever you want.
No, you're the guest, so I'll go where you ever want.
Okay.
All right, now listen, let's load up. I think we've got the pictures up now. One thing, and I had this idea that since we're getting into the holiday season and so forth, what we might do is just spend a couple minutes and show a side of history that we here in the West just don't see. We're not exposed to this at all. And that has to do with the fact that Germany was and is, the Muslims notwithstanding, a Christian nation. And they celebrated Christmas. In fact, much of our Christmas heritage came from Germany, with Germans who came over here and settled in America. It was a huge German community here in the 30s wanted absolutely nothing to do with war in Europe. They knew what was going on. And they said, stay out. It was called the American Bund. And the idea that Germans were Christians and celebrated Christmas just was not talked about for obvious propaganda and political reasons. But we're going to talk about it a little bit here. And I thought it'd be fun. I asked Harry if he had any pictures of Germany during the war at Christmas time, and he's put some up here. And they had Christmas trees. If you go back and look at the early Christmas cards from Europe, they're almost all German, the first beautiful cards. And they're the ones that put Santa Claus in there and mushrooms. And it's just a part of our culture that hopefully Donald Trump will reinvigorate. It's not happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas, folks.
You bet.
Merry Christmas. This is a Christian Western nation founded on the principles of Christianity. And that doesn't mean you have to be a Christian, but it does mean you have to honor the fact that it is what it is. And there's room for your religion or whatever your belief system is. But let's not put down the majority here. And Christmas has always been something that especially our Jewish citizens love, if for no other reason than they make a fortune on it. So anyway, let's confront this honestly. Take a look at these pictures. All right, what's our first picture here, though? These are black and white pictures.
Right, these are just pictures I clipped off the Internet. We do have a couple that I've got over 10,000 photos, so I had a little trouble finding our own, but we've got photos of some of the guys on the submarines. They bring some scraggly looking little piece of a tree on board, set it up in the bow room, in the forward torpedo room, and that's their Christmas tree. They celebrate Christmas like we did. We were, as you know, and I say this so many times, I was a kid during the war years, and we were brought up during the war years with all this propaganda that the Germans were anti-Christian, hated God, prayed to Hitler, and that just wasn't true. And when we're in Germany, especially southern Germany and Austria, where it's heavy, heavy Catholic, at every little crossroad out in the country, there's a little shrine. And many, many homes, I've got a little shrine in the front yard, and there's churches everywhere, all through Germany and Austria, and in France too, of course, but we're focusing on the Wehrmacht right now. Hitler sang in a church choir with our friend Jeff Carson, who we call the Tunnel King. He finds all these places. We were in the actual church where Adolf Hitler sang in the choir.
How interesting.
So, you know, to just say they're a bunch of godless Nazis, that's handy for the propaganda, but no. It just isn't true.
Sickening. Stand by a minute. We'll come right back with Harry, and do load those pictures up and join us as we take our little trip. Okay, let's get right back to our trip and looking at photo number one. And Harry was telling us about some of the U-boats. These were human beings. They weren't monsters, just like our guys in U-boats would do the same kind of thing. They'd do something to honor Christmas. That's the part.
Yeah, in every branch of the service. I remember my first Christmas when I was in the Air Force. I wound up having to stand guard over a telephone pole I was in short sleeve shirt and shorts because I was down at Lackland. But we all had Christmas, and the Germans were no different. They celebrate Christmas, too. It's unfortunate that we actually had to shoot at one another.
Well, I think most people know my feeling. We were shooting at the wrong people in World War II, and a lot of people understand that now. The 50 years of the Cold War didn't benefit anybody, and we came very close to incinerating the planet multiple times.
Yeah.
As we opposed the truly godless Soviet Union. Now, that's not talking about today's Russia, which is a religious country and in many ways has as much freedom and liberty as we have anymore. Hopefully that'll change and we'll regain what we had. But World War II was another contrivance of the international money cartel that was financing both sides, created the whole mess, basically, made a fortune. And 60 million died in World War II, but what do they care, huh?
None of them were in it. None of their kids were in it.
Never happens. Okay, let's look at our pictures here. And this first one, it looks like one guy, maybe Luftwaffe, I can't tell.
I'm not that sharp on the uniforms, but they look like they're, I don't know, I'm not that sharp on the uniforms. I would think maybe an army or a police battalion.
Well, they had some shoulder patch on there, which is odd, unusual. But that does, I don't know, you got the eagle over the pocket. That's pretty standard.
Pretty standard, yeah.
So I don't know.
And look on the background, though. They got a picture of I guess one of their girlfriends or their wife or something hanging on the wall.
A movie star,
Movie star, just like everybody else did.
Yeah. See, they even the Disney cartoons, Hollywood, all of it tried to paint these people out as being monstrous, and it just wasn't true. And yet, we were told to embrace and honor Uncle Joe, the butcher, Stalin, the real butcher. This guy was a maniac.
He was something else.
Yeah. So we were on the wrong side in World War II, period. End of story. If, when you think about it, if Rudolf Hess had parachuted into the right farm in England, maybe the war would have ended for the English. All Hitler wanted to do was strike peace deals with England. He tried and tried and tried. That's all documented. It's not a joke. He did not want to fight the English. That's why he let the British Army go at Dunkirk. That's why he didn't launch Operation Sea Lion, which was the invasion of England. And now, if you look at some of these documentaries, the English who were there, they're older documentaries, but they say Germany would walk right through here. We had no chance. Nothing.
Yeah, some of our British members, as you know, we got members in 77 countries.
Yeah.
Our British members absolutely hate Churchill. Now, hate's a pretty strong emotion, but they absolutely hate Churchill.
I understand exactly why, and go back to who owned Churchill, who controlled him, Bernard Baruch, bought him out twice, and took young Winnie to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange in 1929 to watch Black Friday happen, not unlike George Herbert Walker Bush took Bush Jr. to Dealey Plaza as a punk kid to be on hand as history was made. Think about that.
I didn't know that.
True story.
If you just believe what you're fed, if you believe what you're spoon-fed as the normal sheeple, you just plod along and do what you're told and chanting, long live Big Brother, long live Big Brother. But if you start looking into things, you realize, whoa, we're being... It's not too different today than it was back in the days of Robin Hood, only they don't call these people kings and princes and dukes and earls. They call them other things, but still the money elite are the ones who are pulling the strings.
Right.
I think we saw that with Obama. I don't know if that man ever had an original idea of his own. He was just doing what he was ordered to do.
No, I completely agree. And I think we have been very fortunate to have survived his 8 years as well as we have. The plan was that things would be a lot worse than they are now. He's not slowing down one bit in his illegal importation of these Muslims. There are many terrorists in the group. There are many who have highly contagious, communicable, deadly diseases. They're not being vetted. They're not being given health checks. Nothing. And this is not the behavior of a man who is the custodian, the caretaker, the figurehead of our country's government. He's a traitor.
Well, don't you have to be a citizen of a country before you can be a traitor? I'm just asking. That's all
true. We pretty much granted him citizenship, whether he deserves it or not. But the point is, the guy is clearly an enemy of the people in virtually every respect that counts. Let's not spend time on that.
Fortunately, he's out the door in another few weeks, and Queen Hillary just never happened.
No, and some of the stories about election night in her presence are pretty amazing. All right, the next picture.
Off
ahead.
We go.
Nighttime.
Off we go.
It's a nighttime picture of a bunch of young men around a little Christmas tree, probably somewhere near the front. I see bayonets in the background.
Yep.
And there's a little Christmas tree with little candles lit. And
They actually used candles back in those days.
Yeah.
I remember when we used to do it too when I was a kid during the war years. We had candles.
Yeah.
And our tinsel was actually strips of metal.
Aluminum.
Yeah, aluminum, right.
All right, here's our picture number three. Another table, you see the candles lit, and a wreath hanging down.
Yeah, and I'm guessing they're having Christmas food there.
Looks like they're singing almost. Three people
have
their mouths open. They may well be. Then we have
all open, the same shape.
Yeah. Then there's a picture, a Christmas card. Looks like World War One Christmas.
Right,
this goes way back.
He's wearing a pickle haube.
Yeah. And you see the same conundrum. Here are human beings, Christians, celebrating Christmas, and again it was the evil Hun, the dirty Germans.
Were told. And we were told that the World War One German U-boaters, they couldn't call them Nazis because there weren't any Nazis yet, but they said the U-boaters would rape young women to death and fire their lifeless bodies out the torpedo tubes. And people believed it.
Yeah.
I was not around in those days, but they believed it.
They also believed lampshades and soap.
Yes, exactly. And even I think it was the World Jewish Council or something came out 5-6 years ago and said, no, that's all baloney. That didn't happen.
They finally admitted it. It was just
There are people who still believe it.
Yeah. The next picture... Interesting. One thing about candles on the Christmas tree, beautiful, but they every year homes burn down. Every year.
Yeah.
And if you look at those candles, look what's right next to the tree. Drapes.
Yeah, the drapes.
Good Lord. And you had to watch those things every moment, and a lot of people didn't. And there were a lot of house fires.
Yep. I remember them when I was a kid.
Okay.
It was beautiful, and there's a little kid just got a drum for Christmas.
Yeah. There's nothing more beautiful than the Christmas season, and I don't mean that we all subscribe to the pressure of Christmas. That's wrong, and that never should have been allowed to happen. We've got to buy somebody this, they bought me that, I've got to get... No.
Oh, yeah.
That's not Christmas. Christmas is very simple, and it... Anyhow. All right, our next picture is a color picture...
Yeah.
Of World War II German ornaments. Remember, that symbol you're looking at has long been around as a symbol of good luck, good fortune, and other symbols. It was adopted by the Germans when the war started. At least one of the United States Army's, a division or somebody?
The 45th Infantry Division.
Yeah, they had that symbol as their symbol.
Right, until the war started, then they... Because it was a Navajo symbol
Perfect.
For like 2,000 years ago,
yeah.
And so they got rid of the swastika and used the Navajo Thunderbird on their sleeve. And sad to say, they talk about war criminals, I guess. They were the ones that, quote, liberated, unquote, Dachau. And they lined up all the camp guards, who were just soldiers, lined them up against the wall and machine gunned them. And those that didn't get killed with the machine gun, the officers came along and gave them the 45 in the head.
Yeah.
But we were the good guys.
There's an awful lot to World War II that is critically important to understanding it, that is being withheld from us all. And all the pictures you see of the camps and the victims. Notice one thing about the victims that they don't tell you. They were all skin and bones. There was no food left in Germany at the end of the war, and these labor camps, the German government relied on the labor camps. There was just no food. I've talked to people who were in Germany in the war, and they said by 1943-44, we had nothing left to eat. The people.
Right.
These people died of certainly malnutrition, which is wrong. It's wrong to put anybody in a labor camp. Nobody subscribes to that, but understand.
We had them
in
this country, too, during the war.
We certainly did. We don't talk about that either. Understand what these people died of was malnutrition and typhus, primarily. And that's why
typhus was a bad one.
You know, Elie Wiesel, in his book, complaining about life in the labor camps, complained that they were forced to take 3 showers a day. Now think about that. Why were they forced to take 3 showers a day? Because they're trying to keep them healthy, not get sick.
Because they were workers. Most of the camps were run by various corporations. Auschwitz, for instance, was operated by IG Farben Industry, which was a partner of Standard Oil, which today we know as ExxonMobil.
Right.
And these were workers, and the underground factory we were just in 2 months ago, that was it was run by the SS. I mean, the people. The workers, they were run by the SS, but the SS would put them in these labor camps, and you paid a certain amount of money for each person in the camp, or each worker.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the same over here. The prisoners down in Mississippi and places like that, they'd go and pick cotton, and out further west, they'd do other agricultural things.
You're talking about German POWs.
Right, German POWs.
They were brought over
in
here.
The United States, yeah, right.
And then there were the Japanese, who were horribly disenfranchised of everything.
Yeah, right. They weren't working. They just got stuck in a camp.
Yep.
So, just, you know, different time, but unfortunately, the true story of the German side has been distorted incredibly. The Japanese, the Italians, their history has been told fairly accurately, but the German history is fiction more than anything.
And always remember, and even in his book, Churchill described the war against Germany as not a war against National Socialism or Adolf Hitler. He said none of that mattered. It was a war against Germany and its people. Eradicate them as a world power, because Germany was walking away from everybody, science, technology, the arts, literature, it doesn't matter. They were decades ahead in some areas, and that was the war, in terms of Churchill's view, to crush Germany. They didn't succeed in World War I, and they tried, and they finally succeeded in World War II.
And we have to remember that it was not Germany who started the war. We were taught, and it's still taught, that Hitler started World War II so he could kill all the Jews and rule the world. Well, there were whole groups of Jewish soldiers. I've been in a cemetery over there that is nothing but Jewish soldiers who died fighting for Germany.
There were several hundred thousand, Harry, who, according to my sources, enlisted in the Wehrmacht.
Mm-hmm. Right. And a good friend of mine, Helmut Schmuckel, was commander of a German U-boat, and he was half Jewish. Rosenbaum, Helmut Rosenbaum, sank a British carrier. So that's baloney. And as we're conquering the world, my old friend Otto Kretschmer and I used to laugh about this. With what? They had no huge transport navy. They couldn't ship troops over to the United States. They had no long-range aircraft that could reach the United States. He never had any intention. But when World War One ended, and the cartographers got out their pencil and said, oh, no, well, this isn't Germany anymore, et cetera, and that's when Poland was recreated. Up until that point, 1918, there was no Poland. So they just drew circles around things and said, okay, this is Poland, but it had been Germany before, Pomerania, East Prussia, and various other places. But the people living there had been Germans for generations. Then in August of 39, almost 500,000 Volksdeutscher, ethnic Germans, were forcibly kicked out with just what they could carry. And in the last 2 weeks of August 1939, almost 50,000 ethnic Germans were massacred by the Polish. So, you know, Hitler had no choice. He had to send the troops in to protect
Absolutely. He had no choice. Germany demanded it.
Yeah, and so, you know, this business about Germany started World War II because Hitler wanted to rule the world, and oh, baloney.
Here's another one for you. We all know that Germany bombed England, and England had to start bombing Germany, right? Well, you better turn that around, and you might have it right. The English bombed Germany first, and Hitler was forced to respond.
Yeah, everybody was bombing everybody, unfortunately.
Everything is screwy. And, you know, look, the bigger point here is what Harry goes in search of and finds and presents and shares with the people that get to go along, and it is a wonderful trip, is beautiful architecture, history. It goes way back. It's not just to the war. It goes way back. I mean, the buildings
hundreds of years old. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. They got buildings over there that were old before our country was ever discovered.
Well, last time we did a program, you were in one building that was 300 years old? I don't remember. 400 years old? Something.
Well, the one restaurant where we eat, you have to duck when you walk through there because it was built for people of the time. It was in operation 70-something years before Christopher Columbus ever set sail to find a new world. It opened in 1419, I think it was. And then we were in a tavern that first opened in 1300.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's incredible. And the streets over there are narrow little streets, you know, in the old towns, because there were nothing but horse paths.
Right.
And, you know, just incredible. You know, you look at these buildings and you say, hey, if only they could speak.
Right. All right, well, let's jump into our Southern Patrol pictures.
Yeah, this is a preview of what we're going to be doing again in 2017.
Eating and drinking, I get it.
Yeah, I had to start out. Photo one, I had my Schweinehaxen, which is pig's knuckles, which I used to think sounded horrible, but no, it's a huge big piece of meat, as you see there, and the potato dumpling, which is kind of like potato whipped into a foam and then cooked. And there's that's not dark beer there, that's my Coke. I'm not a very good Irishman. I just never could handle beer.
That's a Coke mug.
Yeah, well, it's the liter of beer that goes in there. It's called a Maß, but because we were in the Hofbrauhaus for this lunch, and you'll notice I did not put down the name the Hofbrauhaus because it's so uniquely spelled. I mess it up every time.
That's Hofbrew.
Okay, if you say so.
Half brew. I'm kidding.
Half brew.
If I get knocked off the air, suddenly very windy where I am. We'll see.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I'll call back on the telephone. So, yeah, beautiful food everywhere. There's just, that's part of the fun of the tours, And we always get to share that.
You can't get a bad meal. You can't get a bad meal. You can't get a bad beer. And you can't take a bad photo. Every place you look, it's like it fell off a Christmas card or a greeting card. But this was in the Hofbrauhaus, and photos 2 and 3 were up on the third floor of the Hofbrauhaus, and that's where Hitler made so many of his speeches, which you see in some of the movies, black and white movies, of course, back in the 30s.
Now, you're looking at the actual location that Adolf Hitler gave speeches in, that big, huge hall.
Right. It could seat 800 people. And if you look at picture 2 down there in the lower left-hand corner where that little kid's face is, that's the stage. I was kind of leaning up against the stage where he would stand and make his speeches.
Oh, so I was looking at the other end. I couldn't see a platform. So the stage is to the left.
Yeah,
I got
behind me and to the left.
Yeah. Wow.
I had the best lighting for that shot standing there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And photo 3 is pretty much the same, SOS.
Very good.
That's the famous Hofbrauhaus, and we'll be there again for lunch. Excuse me, and take all the photos you want, and the architecture there. You go up to the third floor here. You go up 3 flights of stairs, stone stairs. The staircase is probably about 20 feet wide, and it's just grandiose, beautiful place.
Nice. Okay.
That's in Munich.
Picture number 4.
We have another place planned for Munich that we've never been before, and it's an underground part of Munich, which is off limits to everybody. But we have a friend who has gotten permission for us to go into the underground part of Munich.
When you say underground, what do you mean, Harry? Is this World War II bomb shelter underground, or is it more than that?
Well, it's probably more than that, but it's the underground bomb shelter, but they also had manufacturing facilities in there, I believe.
Yeah, well, most of German manufacturing was conducted underground at the end of the war.
Yeah, after about 1943, when the Allies had air supremacy and the Luftwaffe had been kind of swept from the skies, they couldn't get fuel for their airplanes, and their pilots didn't get very much training, so they were up against American pilots, fighter pilots that had, 200, 300 hours, and these guys would have training and 5 hours, and they went up to die. So, they built 4 or 5 times as much underground as what they built above the ground.
Yeah.
And in 2017, when we go back, we're going into at least 1, if not 2, underground factories.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Does one of them start with an M?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Well, this is going to be a tour that nobody will forget. Let's put it that way. Hold on a minute.
Sure.
We do have to pause and... Admiral Cooper and I will be right back as we continue with Hour 2.